If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Hi, this is Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of the Sonic Scoop podcast. And today I'm going to give you top 10 reasons not to become an audio engineer. I say this as someone who helps train other people to become audio engineers for a living, but I'm going to give you the reasons why you should not do that. And I'm going to try my best to talk you out of getting into audio as a career, as a passion, even as a hobby. And hopefully by the end of this podcast, I'll lost you because you'll say, I don't want to have anything to do with this podcast ever again because I don't want to be interested in audio because it's dumb. That's my goal. Am I going to succeed? I hope I do, but I also hope I fail because I kind of hope that you do audio stuff and succeed in audio stuff. I'm rooting for you secretly, even though I'm going to tell you to go away for the entire episode. I want you to do this. But don't tell anyone I told you that. All right, let's get into it. I wrote an article for my blog back in the day called Trust Me, I'm a Scientist. It was the facetiously titled Trust Me, I'm a Scientist, in which I gave people the top 10 reasons not to become an audio engineer. I think I titled it Top 10 Reasons Not to Become a Recording Engineer, but it really applies more broadly. And we'll go through all of them. And we're going to start with the obvious ones. And as we go deeper, we'll get to more important ones. And even if you are dead set on a career in audio or even a hobby in audio, I think these are things you want to wrap your head around and overcome in your own life to really move forward appropriately. So the first one, here's the obvious one. It can be hard to find paying work in audio. And if you do find paying work in audio, there's a very, very high chance that you won't have a job. Like, you'll never have a job. I, to this day, don't actually have a job. Even in the company I own, I'm an independent contractor. I don't have a job. I can't tell my mom I have a job, even though I actually make a decent living in audio. And that's something you're going to have to deal with. If you're the kind of person who wants a steady paycheck, that's relatively hard to find in audio. You're going to be most likely 80, 90% of you, independent contractors, freelancers. There's a little bit of a feast or famine kind of thing if you're approaching this as a career. There are some people who are just consistently, constantly busy all the time. And wonderful, great problem to have. Also not necessarily a great problem to have if you want to have some semblance of a home life or start a family at a reasonable age, that kind of thing. So even a great problem to have, it's not necessarily a great problem to have. You find a lot of audio engineers at certain points in their life, if they are crazy busy, not being in good health because they're working these 10-hour days in the studio again and again and again and again. Now, that's not the reality for everyone. I have to say, I actually can't complain about my life and where things have gone. And when people ask me what I do, I tell them, you know, I tell them I work as a mastering engineer. I run Sonic Scoop. It's an online publication for audio engineers, music producers, all of those folks. And they often say, oh, that's interesting. That's kind of cool. And I say, yeah, I could, you know, I could complain, but if I did, I'd be a jerk. So when it's working, it's cool. But the reality is, it wasn't always easy. I remember when I graduated from college, sending out literally 100 resumes. It was more than 100 to every single studio in New York City, wanting to see if someone at a halfway reputable studio would want to hire me to work as an assistant audio engineer. And out of those 100 applications, I got one potential offer for a paying gig. The other ones were either non-responses or, we could try you out, but we can't really pay anything. You could come work for us for free for an indeterminate amount of time, and who knows, maybe someday you'd get paid, maybe you wouldn't. And I was not in a position where I could do that kind of thing. So I took the one gig that offered to pay me money. And this was actually as someone who was already making money in audio, hooking up with my own clients and recording them in, you know, a kind of guerrilla way. Even I, having done that and having gone through, you know, a bachelor's program in audio, when bachelor's degree in audio is a less common thing, it wasn't enough to land a studio job, you know, right out of the gate. So that's the thing. Getting a job that pays well can be difficult. You're going to have to create jobs for yourself. You're going to have to think entrepreneurially. Reason number two not to become an audio engineer is it can even be difficult to find non-paying work. And I won't go into too much detail on that, but I worked at some universities and as a college professor, I was even the chair of a big audio production school for a while. And it can be difficult to actually place students, even capable ones, into like legit worthwhile free internships that they would get something out of. So it can be a challenge. You're not going into a field where there is more demand for labor than there is supply of labor. You're going into a field where there's many, many more people who would say yes to doing the work than there is work for them. Now, that said, as you get really good and really confident, there's actually not necessarily a huge dose of really, really confident, competent, consistent, professional engineers who can do work at the quality level that's expected of them by better paying clients. There, things start to get a little bit better, but getting there takes years. Next one is that in audio, if you decide to go into audio as a profession, and I'll get to the hobby part of it soon, but if you decide to go into audio as a profession and you fail to make money at it, you will feel like a failure. This is not the same as if you took up like guitar as a hobby or started playing in a band and you never made money at it. You wouldn't feel like a failure. You'd be playing in an awesome band and there'd be all these rewards to it. But if you're doing the job of audio person, a job where you're enabling and helping other people and you're not getting paid for it, you will feel like a failure because that feels like a job. Because unlike playing in a band, it is kind of more of a job. Even though you don't have a job because you're a freelancer and all that, you're still like doing a job. And if you don't get paid for that, and if it's not like financially okay, you're going to feel like a failure. And that's a lot different than a lot of the other music-related hobbies you could decide to do. Which gets us into number four, which is that I've got to say, admittedly, as far as jobs you could have go, working in audio is actually a fairly fun job. It's a relatively cool job. But if you're doing it as a hobby, there are so much cooler and more fun hobbies to have, which always amazes me when people like want to learn to mix or master their own stuff as a hobby. It's like, nah, dude, pick a real hobby. Learn to play the guitar or, you know, the tuba or the sousaphone. That's basically the same thing as a tuba. Or the drums or make some fire beats or become a rapper or whatever. Like, do a hobby. Take up hang gliding, jujitsu. I do jujitsu. That's a fun hobby. Like, I don't ever plan on doing jujitsu as a job, but it's fun. It's a game you play with your entire body with another participant. I mean, it's an interesting game. Chess, that could be a good hobby. Flying kites, you know, there are things that are like fun as hobbies. With audio engineering, as much as I enjoy doing it, as much as I put in so much unpaid work early on to get good at it, I wouldn't pick it as a hobby. I put in all that work, yes, because it was an interesting puzzle and it was enjoyable and I was really curious about it and I was inspired by audio even when I wasn't making money doing it, but I was motivated to do it to a degree because I realized that I could turn it into a job or a career path or something that would pay me in a way that my skills as a musician probably weren't going to. And chances are, if you're really interested in music production, there's a facet of that for you too. You want to get really good at this because if you think you get really good at audio engineering, there is a career path for you in it, most likely. Just as a pure hobby, like, yeah, you could. It's interesting enough that you could, but there are just so many other, if it's just going to be a hobby, why pick this? Why not pick playing guitar and writing songs or singing or, you know, jumping off of cliffs into the water very safely, I hope. So, yeah, even like mastering Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, that would be a cool hobby. The original NES game, I mean, even that's a better hobby than audio. And this is coming from someone who really likes doing audio. So, just saying. All right, next thing, and this is number five, and this is a tricky thing because a lot of people get into audio or music production, do it because they're creative. And this one is a problem for creative people. But you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to be a little creative by doing this week's sponsor section right now in the middle of the podcast episode. Yes, I'm trying a new format. Tell me if you like it better or worse. Is this interrupting the flow too much? Do you like it better in the beginning or do you like it right here in the middle? Thanks for checking out this episode of the Sonic Scoop Podcast. We're brought to you by our sponsors, which include you. How do you sponsor? By smashing the like button. If you haven't already, please hit like, notifications bell, all that good stuff. It really helps you get these episodes if you're enjoying it. If you've gotten this far, you probably like it enough to give a like. And good on you for doing that. Also, sponsored by SoundToys. I've been sponsoring this podcast since the very beginning, so big thank and heartthrob to those guys. Check out anything they make for free over at soundtoys.com. You can try out anything they make for 30 days for free. They make some of my favorite creative mixing effects around. Devilock Deluxe, Decapitator, Echo Boy, I mean, Phase Mistress, so many. Too many to mention. Also, we're giving away stuff over at sonicscoop.com. As always, check it out, sonicscoop.com/contest. We are right now giving away five subscription bundles to the new Music Production Suite Pro from iZotope. I think it's a great steal out there in audio. But if you want to really steal it, you can get it totally for free over at sonicscoop.com/contest. If you're a time traveler from the future and you're hearing this after the date of this recording, then good on you. You can probably still go to sonicscoop.com/contest anyway, and there'll probably still be some other contest there, and tell me where you got your flux capacitor. Okay, onwards into the future. Number five is, if you're a creative person, and that's why you're into music production and audio production, it can be tricky because unlike being in your own band or something like that as your hobby or even as a potential profession, you have a lack of autonomy. Your job as an audio engineer is facilitating the work of others. You are not the star. You do not decide exactly how things should sound. You are not responsible for the end vision. You're a facilitator. You're providing services to someone else. You're helping them facilitate their end vision. You're helping them realize their vision. And although you can improve things, you actually don't have the ability to take something from being bad and not worth listening to great and amazing. You don't have that type of control over the project. So that's a tricky thing for some people to accept, especially creative people. And if you really want to be a musician, go do that. Even if you don't want to get paid for being a musician. Now, there's some people who are audio engineers and producers and musicians as well, and they do their own music as their passion project for fun, and they do the audio engineer music producer thing as a job that's enjoyable for them, that's one of the better jobs that they can do, that it's financially rewarding, and they like facilitating others, but they recognize those two different roles. They're the autonomous one, they're the head honcho in their project, but they're a facilitator and someone who's there to help other people's projects be better when they're in the other role. Which leads us to number six. Sometimes you will record or mix or edit or master or work on music that you do not enjoy. You may already know this. Musicians, music fans can be very opinionated when it comes to music and audio. And if you're very opinionated, you have very strong taste about what is and isn't good, you might have a hard time doing audio and music production stuff. You really have to become like an open person in a way. And all of a sudden, if you're in audio, you're going to have to figure out how to like genres that you think should have been your enemy, right? I hate this style of music. Well, right now, if you want this money, it's your job to work on that style of music. Oh, I guess I'll have to figure out what I like about it now. Now, yes, you can niche down so you're just working in a particular genre where you're like a specialist in that genre. But even then, you're opinionated enough to do that. You can be opinionated enough within that genre, then some of the bands who are seeking your help, you're going to think suck relative to other bands in your genre. The problem doesn't go away even if you specialize. You're going to sometimes work on stuff that you don't really enjoy from a purely musical standpoint that you think there are problems in. Does this happen to me? Do some of my clients, do I not enjoy their music? Well, I'll tell you what, I've become such a Zen master of this that I don't even frame it in that way anymore. I think about it very differently. When I get a master from a client, I think This is a person who is nice enough for some reason to seek me out because they thought I could help them. That makes me like them already. They're my friend. And I want to help them have the best project possible. So it's my job to figure out what's good in their music and help enhance that. And it's my job to help figure out what are the things that are keeping them back from realizing the vision that they want to realize, from getting to the sound that they were trying to achieve, and what's standing in the way of this person who I like and who I want to like, and success for them in their own terms. Whether or not I would buy the album to listen to at home in my spare time doesn't factor into that equation, because I'm working on a totally different set of problems. I have a set of audio skills and insights into how they could improve and get better results, or what I can do to their stuff to get it closer to what they really envisioned. And that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about that person. I'm on their side. I'm on their team. And their end result, and then where things are right now. The end result they want, who they are, where their thing is now. My tastes in music don't exactly factor into that. Now, they factor into a little bit if I have to make a creative decision. It's like, should we go a little brighter or a little darker? And, you know, the client isn't sure. Well, my taste is going to veer us this way. So, yeah, you use your taste. But I've had to open up to a lot of genres I never thought I'd like or like working on. But I'll tell you what, an interesting thing happens. You end up figuring out what's good about those genres and why people like them. Because here's one of the big helps when you really are interested in the end result for your client and you feel like on the same team with your client and you want to see them succeed. There's this beautiful thing where it just makes you open to their style of music. Because now they're your friend in a way. And that's how we discover a lot of our favorite music, is through friendship, through our social peer group. There's a social aspect to music. And if you can be social and really open to the people you're dealing with as clients, it makes you socially open to the music that they like. And one of my favorite ways, not one of my favorite ways, my favorite way to discover new music, and pretty much the only way I discover new music, is through my clients. I ask them, same question I ask any mastering client, what are some of the records you've been loving the sound of lately? I always like to get a few things into my ear as I'm setting up to help get a general sense for your taste in loudness, brightness, that kind of thing. And they'll tell me what records they've been loving the sound of. And usually there'll be at least one, if not more, of those records that I haven't heard before. And I get to listen to them from the frame of, I like this person and I want to help them. I wonder what they're interested in. It makes me so much more open to discovering new music. So that's a help. But if all of this is rankling you because, like, you don't want to work on music that you don't like, then be an artist. Even an unprofessional one, a hobbyist artist, rather than someone who's pursuing this as a profession. And be an artist even rather than someone pursuing this as a hobby. Because as the artist, you get to control what kind of music you're making, and it can be about what kind of music you like. It can't be that even if you're a hobbyist in audio production, music production. This brings us to number 7. And this is that, let's face it, audio is not sexy. No, I know. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to try to make it better. Audio does not make me sexy. I'd like to say I'm already sexy enough as it is, but this is almost all lighting tricks that are happening right here, and audio enhancement, if you're on the audio-only version of the podcast. I say that just as I banged my microphone stand. We'll be leaving that in if that made a terrible sound. So, yeah, audio isn't sexy. You know what? If you play guitar or write songs or are a rapper or something, that's kind of hot. Look, whatever opposite sex it is that you're interested in, whichever, you know, one's in between is your thing, it's not sexy to any of them that you're into audio. It's just not, it's not landing the chicks or the dudes or the whatevers. It's not. If, you know, the things that make you attractive to people of the other sex, the has a job in audio, I get, it's like it's a, oh, it's kind of cool, you know? But it's the other things about you that are interesting. And trust me, if you did one of those other cooler things instead of audio, that would, even with your current spouse, I'm sure there are a million different things I could be doing that would be even hotter to my wife than my current job. I mean, my job is cool. And she picked a guy with a somewhat cool job. But it's not sexy. It's like, oh, if you're going to have a job, I guess that's a kind of interesting one. It's not like being a writer or a musician or even a chef. It's just not the same. Let's not lie. Audio doesn't make you sexy. It just doesn't. All right, next. Don't you try to contradict me on this ponytail guy. I had a ponytail for a little while. Number 8, speaking of sexuality and sexual reproduction, do I have to put it in such like weird terms? Can you say that normal, Justin? Speaking of human relations between similar carbon-based life forms of slightly different body orientations. Number 8 is that the long and erratic hours of a career in audio or even a hobby in audio can make it difficult to sustain and even create normal relationships. Yeah. In the article version of this, I believe I wrote, unlike the rest of humanity who spend their weekend afternoons traipsing through the zoo, petting the gentle lemurs, and admiring the ferocious platypi with their loved ones, you'll be in the studio well past midnight working with weekend warriors. Instead of passing cool summer evenings impressing your love by winning giant stuffed animals and free Ferris wheel rides, thanks to your cunning mastery at whack-a-mole, you'll find yourself blowing out your hearing as you pick up a few extra live sound shifts at local clubs. Please note that if normal people don't actually do any of the things I mentioned above for fun, that's because as an audio engineer, I'm basing my entire concept of having a social life outside the studio on half-remembered things from my childhood. Tell me that's not good writing! All right, anyway. Number 9. It's expensive. It's expensive to get into audio, you know? Even if these days, with as cheap as it is to be in audio, if you're in audio as a hobby, it's expensive. And you're always going to think you need the next thing, even when you don't need the next thing. So as far as hobbies go, it's even more expensive than playing an instrument. And as a business, the capital requirements are not great. But that said, I almost want to take back number 9. If I was writing this article again today, I probably wouldn't put in number 9 as expensive, because it really doesn't have to be today. A decade ago, it didn't have to be, but even more so today, it doesn't have to be that expensive to get started. Maybe I'd switch this to, it's so inexpensive that anyone can do it, and there's even more people doing it than ever, and that's why you shouldn't do it, because everyone's doing it, because it's not expensive. So maybe I would change this one if I was rewriting the article today. Number 10. Oh man, I wrote this one down. I wrote down that new recording studios are of questionable economic usefulness. I think that ties into number 9. Does the world really need another audio engineer? Does it really need another? It definitely doesn't need another big recording studio in it, by the fact that many of them are closing. Does it need another small recording studio capable of some person mixing audio? I don't know. So if you're going to be doing this, it better well be because you really want to, because you can't see yourself doing anything else. Which leads us into bonus tip number 11, bonus reason number 11. There are better things to do. Let's see how I ended this one. Back these low, how many years ago? 10 years ago, decade old that I wrote this article now. Man, I've been writing these articles for more than a decade. This is what I wrote. There are better things to do. I love recording and mixing, but I'm surprised to find that audio engineering has somehow come to be seen as a glamorous field in recent years. Really, it's not. But just because it's picked up this little air of glamour doesn't mean it's more important or more badass than any of the fastest growing fields in the economy, which at the time I wrote it include fields like physical therapy. That's really awesome. Do you know how much physical therapists help people? There's so many people around with like injuries all over their bodies whose arms won't move right and legs won't move right and like can't get up from a chair properly. People recovering from broken bones and comas and cancer and all this stuff and would just have the misuse illnesses of age who can have those things dramatically improved. Can make them, their body so much more functional. This spaceship we go around this, you know, crazy life in, you can make this whole instrument, this whole organism better for people, physical therapy. And that's been a fast-growing field. Environmental, civil, or biomedical engineering. My goodness, those are people who make a big difference in people's lives. Social work, sales, athletic training. That's one that was in the rise. Post-secondary education was a big one. Veterinary medicine was a fast-growing field at the time that I wrote this. Anyone who loves music could pursue any one of those fast-growing fields and live a life of great personal fulfillment and musical activity. So, you don't have to go into music or audio engineering to enjoy music or to even enjoy nerding out about audio a bit. You better have a good reason if you want to do it. I hope that I've scared you away from this career. Not really. If you've made it this long, like through all of my antics in this episode, like I like you already, so I actually want you to succeed. But again, pretend that I'm not telling you that. So, scaring you away. I'm going to scare you away from doing this. I'm trying to scare you away. And really what I want to say is that you better have a damn good reason. If you don't want to do this, congratulations, you're a very sensible person, and I will envy you your lifetime of health insurance, a possible pension, peace of mind, and a family that you were able to start at a reasonably young age. But if I wasn't able to scare you away, welcome. Nice to have you here. Thanks for hanging out with me. Hope you hang out with me again sometime. We're going to talk about nerdy audio stuff on this channel all the damn time. Why? Because we have no other choice. And if you feel that way, that's a great reason to be in music or audio. Thanks for hanging out with me. This has been Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. See you next time.